Are you watching? No, there are people watching. I forgot we started.
Yeah, we do a podcast every week, guys! Every week! Welcome to episode 126 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I prefer The Equalizer slightly over John Wick, actually. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am my own amiibo.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I collect socks.
That was profound.
Yep.
Movies, socks.
Like, as a hobby.
Amiibos. We have such a vast diversity of hobbies on this podcast. Those are pretty wide-ranging topics, let's be honest.
Those are incredibly wide-ranging topics.
Just imagine if someone made a movie about someone who put socks on their amiibos.
Cool.
Then we, all three that of us could finally have something in common. We would all watch it and be interested.
That's yes, because we don't have anything else in common that we can't do together. Yeah. It has to be this one very particular movie.
What else would we have in common? Wait. Is this about the vintage telephone books again? Because I've been meaning to get back into the
Yes! Those. Damn it! You caught me. That's exactly what I was going for.
For anyone who doesn't know, one night we found out that there actually is a subculture that collects vintage telephone books. And if I remember correctly, we were trying to just name something extremely boring and just average, normal, everyday that would be absurd to collect. And we found out, no, people do collect those. Their phone books. I mean, mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, some of them are kind of nice.
Yeah.
I mean, they look all right.
Pretty good.
You look all right.
They're definitely not the bloated carcass of what is considered a phone book nowadays, where when it shows up on your doorstep, you're like, why? I have Google. I no longer need this. Why do you still exist?
It's too large to be a paperweight, yet too light to be an effective doorstop. It's literally more worthless than average garbage.
That's true.
The phone book, everybody.
The phone book.
Oh, the phone book.
See, I'm going to hook up with one of those really inventive publishers who has access to really customized printing capability. I'm going to release something called the phone book, but it's going to be a book shaped like a cell phone. It's going to be like a story or something. That's what I'm going to do.
I think people will just throw it away.
That's okay. It'll be one of those like $3 novelty books you get at the gift shop at an airport.
Oh, yeah. People would buy that.
Interesting.
Yeah, phone book.
I would not waste my money.
Like 600 fun facts about phones in there.
Like you're onto something.
I'm sure you could write that, yeah. There's got to be at least 600 facts about phones.
How easy.
That are easy. I mean, they might not be interesting.
Yeah, but they're bookable.
But
those kind of books get published all the time.
True. Yeah, the coffee table books, as I think it is.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can have pictures of the phone. No, now we're getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know what hobby would be more fun, guys?
Collecting socks.
I was going to say competitive eating, but yeah, collecting socks, that's not bad. I mean, because socks, you know, they have utility because they're actually useful, you know?
It's true. It collects the sweat off of your feet.
Unlike, say, video cassettes, those purely a leisure item.
You mean like VHS tapes?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know where you're going with this.
There was only something else. Only
like cassette tapes, 8-tracks, laser discs.
Oh yeah!
Now we're getting somewhere.
They double as dinner plates.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Put all your money in laser discs. It's gonna beat out DVD because the quality is better.
Yes.
So I mean, they weren't sure.
And you could probably kill somebody if you throw it like a frisbee.
VHS or Betamax? That was a real debate back in the day.
Yeah, DVD, Laserdisc, Blu-ray, HD DVD.
I remember.
See it all
HD
the time.
Yeah, all the time. It's Speaking of stuff you see all the time, have you guys played any old video games lately?
I decided, because EA does what they always do and murders their companies they acquire, I decided to load up some SimCity 4.
Oh.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's when SimCity was good?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's
okay, all right.
That's before about a decade-long break, and then eventual just the crap show that killed Maxis.
Yeah, because they're debunked now.
Yeah, they're dead. That studio's dead. It's dead.
Sad.
But
Maxis is dead.
He's dead.
SimCity 4. Never played it, Jason. How is it?
It's pretty good. It's you build city. You can,
sim it. Do you sim it?
Yep. You can chase cars around and helicopters and nuclear power plants and natural disasters. It's pretty good.
All of this sounds incredibly boring. Is the green-haired guy in it?
No.
Dr.
Ryan. Only for Nintendo.
I will have to pass.
Oh, I'm going to not gonna lie. Nintendo. I'm surprised Jason knew what Hunter was talking about.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It's a little test every now and again just to keep Jason on his toes.
SimCity is a funny franchise because you don't think about it until you think about it. That was a really stupid phrase. I'm going to try this again. SimCity is a really funny franchise because you don't realize how much you've played it until you start thinking about it and realize I've owned 3 different SimCity games in my life. I don't consider myself a SimCity fan.
Yeah.
And yet I have legitimately owned and put time into 3 different SimCity titles.
Yeah.
There's something to it. I mean, we know Jason has a fetish for taxes, and there's definitely an element there where you decide how much you want to tax and where those funds get allocated.
I think that's when the fetish had started, actually, was in SimCity.
Yeah.
It's the perfect drug. The perfect drug.
How are those OTA meetings?
They're good.
Overtaxers Anonymous.
Overtaxation Anonymous.
Yes. Wow. There's no such thing as overtaxation.
Spoken like a true socialist.
Yeah.
Yes. We got reported. Did you see that? We got reported to some bot Twitter account because we had mentioned the word communism.
Oh, yeah.
And we were reported to the FBI or the CIA or something
that
like that.
Yeah. McCarthyism.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? This is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, SimCity. If you're a tactical thinker, like you like turn-based RPGs, but you've never given a SimCity game a try, I would actually recommend it. It's weird how conflict resolution is a thing that develops organically in the game, because I think, as Jason can attest, SimCity 4 is so tightly developed, the moment you devote too much money to education, you start realizing that you're having more issues elsewhere. You don't have enough energy. You're gaining population because of education, but then you don't have enough places for them to work, so you add industry, and then there's pollution, and it's really cool trying to balance all that stuff.
Yeah, you got to balance a ton of stuff.
And I'm not good at balancing. No PlayStation.
If you want a good 12-year-old game to play, pick up SimCity 4.
It's a solid title.
Mm-hmm. I'll drink to that. Hunter, did you play anything?
I played a bunch of crappy old NES games again.
Do tell!
I finally got through my collection and have weeded out the bad eggs completely. So I've got something like 25 games up on sale right now. Just trying to rid the evil from my house. Really bad game. Treasure Hunter? That's a bad game.
Not a good game.
Not a good game. Silent Service, which I don't know who thought playing through a simulated submarine game was a good idea.
I want to show
definitely
you.
Not a good game.
Silent Service is not only one of the worst games in the NES, like honestly, like legitimately really, really not fun, but it's also one of the most common. There were millions. I mean, it was Konami, right? I mean, it was a common. They made lots of copies of that cartridge.
Yeah, it was Ultra.
Well,
Ultra Games.
Right, right. Yes, Ultra.
Brand. Just don't let Nintendo know. Because it was one per year.
I have this copy of Silent Service. It's for those who can't see it on the audio version, that the label is completely torn off. Someone wrote in black marker, not even like good black marker, like crappy children's black marker, "Silent Service." They wrote it on the cartridge. And then on the back, they just kind of X'd it out. Like the game is like dead or something.
like do not play.
The funny thing is, this cartridge actually works. I have cleaned it and tested it, but I'm going to give it away someday. The world's crappiest copy of Silent Service. So get excited for
it's
that
pretty
one.
Pretty bad.
That's a fun giveaway right there.
Don't get excited. Target Renegade. That is a really bad beat 'em up game. It is a poor man's Double Dragon.
Yeah.
A very poor, lonely, pissing in a cardboard box man's version of Double Dragon.
But it shows you like the early genre. Never mind. I'm not going to make an argument for it. You're right. It's bad.
It's no. Please don't. One game I did play that I really enjoyed was Hexen for DOS.
Yes.
Hexen is...
Wait a second.
I've
heard of that game, but never worked on the computer I had.
Hexen is one of those games that kind of, I picked it up because it came, I believe the demo came on the Wolfenstein 3D disc, like if you actually bought the Wolfenstein 3D game, like in stores. There was a bonus disc that had the demo of that and the first in the series, which was called Heretic. This is their first person shooter fantasy kind of style games, but Hexen did something interesting with the first person shooter genre that you see all the time now. They had three different classes. They had the warrior, the mage, and the cleric. Each class had a different set of weapons that they could obtain, and they had different fighting styles, obviously. So much in the fame of like Dungeons and Dragons, the warrior was very close quarters, up front combat. The mage obviously was more projectile, and the cleric was kind of in between with the upgrades you got for your weapons and stuff. It also introduced hub worlds, which I haven't really seen it done the way that Hexen did it, so cut and dry, I guess I could say, is you would start off in a world with multiple exits. And as the game progressed, you would pull a switch, a door would go up, you'd go through an exit, and you'd load into another world. In that new world, you had to find another secret, usually a switch or a piece of a weapon or something to the puzzle. And then you had to go back to the original world because it unlocked something in the hub world. And you had to do this multiple times to finally figure out what was going on. So, like, a lot of the time, it was just... you know, go to this world, hit a switch, go back, another door opens, go to that world, hit a switch, go back. But for your ultimate weapon that you can unlock, you actually have to collect different pieces of it and put it together. And they were scattered throughout this whole land with, you know, there was countless times where you had to go back and use a key on a different area that you were previously in because you didn't have the key before, stuff like that. It's really fun. Like, it's a really fun, like, adventure first-person shooter. Like, you don't play games that like that anymore. And there's a story. I don't even know what the hell the story is. It doesn't really matter because you just blow stuff up. But
would you say that Hexen is Vexen? No, you wouldn't. Just say nobody would say that.
Nobody, man.
No one.
Nobody.
You should play Hexen, though. It's great.
Yeah, Hexen is like Heretic's good too, but it's more of just like a straightforward kind of like Doom game. But man, there's a lot of stuff going on in Hexen that's really neat. Like it's very cut and dry, it's very cardboard, but you could just the way that it works, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time playing that game. Hexen. It was released on the
Hexen.
Nintendo 64, PlayStation, Sega Saturn. There you go.
Go buy it. It's on Steam.
Yeah, it's like $2.99 or $4.99 or something like that.
Yeah. Surprisingly not on Good Old Games.
Who knows? It's a fun game, though.
Who knows?
It's definitely a solid first-person shooter from back in the day.
Boom.
Cool.
What about you, Bailey?
I didn't bring anything quite as interesting, but I would argue my game is just as fun. I've had a long couple of weeks. I was real just tired the other night, and so I just want a quick little pick-me-up kind of game. You know, you plug it in, you play, it's fun, you know, whatever. And there are few games, I think, that are as good at that as Super Dodgeball on the NES. You might be
Nice.
thinking, but isn't the one-player mode like it drags on? You have to beat all these countries? No. The secret is in the often overlooked and always underestimated fun of beanball mode, where it's just six guys playing in some schoolyard, just every man for himself, running around, beaning the crap out of each other. And that's what I did. I played that, and I murdered the other five people with the dodgeball. And if you've never played this game, I mean,
Wow.
you actually hit them with the dodgeball until they die. Like, that's how you lose in this game.
It's true.
Like, the
It's weird.
body dies and deteriorates, and as they're deteriorating, the soul. I'm not making this up. You.
Turn into an angel and it floats to the top.
It's life or death. I
It's my
mean,
kind of dodgeball. I don't know about you guys,
yeah.
but.
There's no better dodgeball game, and this is one of those NES games that throughout the late 90s, early 2000s, if you went to any like Funko Land, GameStop, pre-GameStop, EB Games, whatever, any of those used game places, this was always one of those $25 or $30 games, just because it was so, such high demand all the time. If you've never played this, it's just pure fun. And that's one reason I like retro games. I mean, I have nothing against modern games, they're super fun too, but there's. And one reason I advocate indie games as well. It's just pure. There's no. Like, I love story sometimes. Sometimes I don't need story. If you don't need story, just play Super Dodgeball. There's no story. You're just going out playing dodgeball. It's a lot of fun. So, it sounds like each of us brought a game we can recommend. So, yeah. Highly recommend Super Dodgeball. Good stuff.
What do you want? Can't you think I'm trying to edit out sound of dying stuntman? His head crack open like rotten melon. We might need it for upcoming scene where rotten melon crack open.
Wow, sound editing sounds fascinating.
I did. I did not play ice hockey, but we will be giving away this game after our next segment, the listener email discussion question.
That was
Oh,
actually probably the most impressive segue we've ever had on this show.
Yes.
this kind of is it a little relevant, smooth? Did it make sense
There was a little
actually?
bit of magic there. I could see
Yeah,
it.
this we actually have a listener email discussion question this week. Last week we didn't have one. This week we do. So that's a good thing. So our listener email discussion question, by the way, if you want to send one, the email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. This week it goes like this. Hi, One More Castle Podcast. When it comes to playing video games, handheld slash portable games are my favorite. So my question for you guys is, are there any games that were released on both a home console and a handheld console where you preferred the handheld version of a game over the home console version? Some games that come to my mind are the Game Gear version of Power Rangers, for not being a boring fighting game like the Genesis version, and the Game Boy Color version of Dragon Warrior 3, for updating everything from one of my favorite RPGs on the NES. Sincerely, Mega Silver X1, who's on Twitter at the same name, if anyone wants to say hi to him, hope he doesn't mind me saying that. Mega Silver X1 is a cool retro gaming ally I like. I guess Silver X1.
He's actually also watching tonight.
Yeah. Hope that's not
It's a
awkward or
little
anything
awkward.
wrong, but yeah,
It's a little
it
awkward.
can be. Yeah, but for what it's worth, I think it's a really sweet, solid kind of
Yeah.
question, so I look forward to your guys' thoughts on it.
I'm sure there is some handheld game that's better than the console it was released on, but man, like nothing is coming to mind.
You couldn't think of
Like,
one.
the first thing I thought was there are quite a few handheld versions of the games that I like better than the home console, but it was mainly just because I could take it with me and play it. You know what I mean? Like, as much crap as people
Yeah.
gave Super Mario 64 for the DS, Like, I still prefer playing that one just because of all the different characters that you can choose from and updated graphics, and I could take it with me and play it with me. Yeah, there was no analog support, but, I mean...
Right.
It's a Mario game. It doesn't break anything. So, I don't know. There's definitely some handheld games I wish were on a home console, but... I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
Oh, good. That might be a good question for you to email in.
No, I'm all right.
All right, cool. I would be really impressed, Jason, if you want to one-up Eric Hunter. Okay. Now is your chance, because normally, I mean, you're the PC guy. Hunter's the, you know, video games guy who actually plays video
actual
games.
Actual video games. Yeah.
Actual
video games.
I'm going to sound like a dick.
No.
No.
What?
Well, there is a first time for everything.
Yeah. I never had handhelds as a kid.
Of course.
First handheld was 3DS, because I've never really understood the point of owning a handheld.
To hold it in your hand? I think it's in the title, Jason.
I don't get it. Like, if I'm home, I'm going to either go on my computer or I'm going to use a console. And if I'm out somewhere, I'm out somewhere. So I'm probably not going to be playing my Game Boy or whatever.
I hear you.
Right? So I never, yeah. I can't really comment because I never had. Yeah.
I'm really glad I put some thought into this question.
Oh, I just thought of one.
Oh.
It's just Tetris.
So that was one of the ones I was thinking of. Because, yeah, that's.
Yeah, because of the two-player mode.
See, Even not even that. I think I actually prefer the NES version, but a lot of people really like the Game Boy version because before smartphones and like cell phone games, Tetris was the game that millions of people actually did like bring around with them everywhere on their Game Boy.
Yeah.
Waiting in line at the bank, play some Tetris. Like, people actually did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. Like, I mean, a lot of it just because... I think it's just comes down to because it was a launch title. Like, it was a pack-in game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it certainly helped it.
You know, I mean,
no one can deny that. Yeah. I would actually put in two others, though, for contention. One is one I've mentioned on the podcast. I've actually mentioned both of these on the podcast before. So, one of them is my favorite version of California Games is on the Atari Lynx.
Hmm.
The Atari Lynx had kind of like furry, fuzzy motion to it, like the graphics on the screen kind of blurred, the LCD it used. For most games, it kind of sucked, and it wasn't good. Like, a lot of games just didn't look great, but for some reason, for California Games, it really worked. It was a very smooth, flowing, kind of a groovy game to get into, as opposed to the NES, which felt clunky by comparison, or even other versions. The other one I thought of was... Micro Machines on Game Boy. Because it's...
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
Hear me out.
So bad.
No.
It's so bad.
It's very similar to any other iteration of Micro Machines, except they have a brilliant, brilliant implementation.
No, how? How is this brilliant?
It's genius. They didn't have to have two-player mode. The developer said, no, we're going to have two-player mode on one Game Boy. And everyone else in the meeting was like, how are you going to put two players on a racing game? And he said, listen. Both vehicles on screen, they'll both just automatically go. One player will steer with the directional pad, and the other will steer with A and B. Brilliant. Like,
terrible.
Awesome. Awesome. So funny. So unique. So innovative. It's Micro Machines on Game Boy.
Ugh.
So good.
I'm guessing that Bailey's never had fat fingers. That is the worst thing to put on a Game Boy with a kid with fat fingers growing up. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. I have knobby knuckles. Like, my knuckles are whiter than my fingers. I'm kind of bony, I guess.
That's weird.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Stiff wind could take you out.
Yeah, when I take a shower, I have to run around in order to get wet. I have to be careful, though, in case I might slip down the drain.
Oh. Oh.
These are my, right. These are my skinny jokes.
These are my skinny jokes. These are my skinny.
Here they are. Here's the skinny. Classic. One of my jokes. No. I think the thing about portable games. Thank you, Jason. The thing about portable games is that it depends on the genre. Like a game like Solitaire, that works on a portable. I can understand that. You're out somewhere.
Yeah, but
like,
I can never see a portable game being better.
But Jason, here's the thing.
It's so limited.
Solitaire, because of the reasons you said, if I was at home, I would never play Solitaire because I have other choices available. You know? But if all I have is a portable game system out there,
yeah. That doesn't make it better, though. It just means you have no choice.
Yeah, you're right. It's not technically answering the question of the better version. I guess, sorry, Mega Silver, I guess we're all three of us kind of like, no, we cannot imagine the portable version of a game being better. Except like Link's Awakening DX, where they, you know, it's already portable. They did some upgrades, like you said, Dragon Warrior 3.
Yeah, but that wasn't even...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Quick funny story about the whole Dragon Warrior 3 thing. I was live tweeting for a while my playthrough of Dragon Warrior 3. I got to a point where I was stuck, and I was refusing to use any FAQs or anything. And I thought, I'm stuck, I'll use Twitter. I'll ask, where is this stupid thing? And some person was like, really like impassioned and trying to help me out, and so I followed his directions and did not find this thing. And he's like, but that's where it is, but. And he's like, well, you must have it wrong. I'm like, I do not have it wrong, I did what you said. So we got like this argument. It turns out that he had played the Game Boy Color version and they switched the location of this particular item. So I wasted like 90 minutes of my life following this guy's directions, and I was actually, to be honest, I was actually mad. Like I said some rude things to him. I was like, dude, like, I was so pissed. I actually stopped playing it. Like I haven't live tweeted about it since, because
wow,
stupid. Like, why open up average human beings to comment on something you do? Other human beings are the worst. I'm just gonna play games on myself.
That's true.
Or against somebody competitively. No way.
And this is a hypothetical, because I can't actually name one, but I'm sure there's a game out there that did this. I'm going to say that a platformer that was originally released on DOS would be much better if it were ported to a handheld, given the D-pad and the buttons. That is the only situation I can think would be better.
Duke Nukem. They released the Duke Nukem games on Game Boy Advanced, I think.
Yeah. Like Duke Nukem, like the original Duke Nukems?
Yeah. I could be wrong.
You know, see, here's my thing too. There's games that are good on portable, but it makes me wonder how much more awesome they would be if they would bring them to a home console. Like,
right?
Can you imagine if they made a Pokemon game for Super Nintendo? That'd be so cool.
It would probably be Pokemon, some better graphics.
Silver. Just look like a Game Boy Advance one, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't.
I have one on 3DS. That's not my point. Saying what if it started one day? You have like on the Wii U, have a Pokemon game.
That'd be cool. That'd sell some Wii U's.
But I mean, all you're really doing is pressing the A button. Like,
that's true.
They would have to. So you'd have two schools of thought. You would separate the fans of Pokemon. Like, if you brought it to a home console and you, because you would have to add a bunch of new features, because then why are we porting it to a home console? And you're like, you're gonna have that school of thought where people are like, wow, this new added features to Pokemon is great, and then you're gonna have the group that are like, why did you ruin Pokemon? This is it. I'm gonna burn my house down because of this.
I'm trying to make the argument, but it's hard. I mean, people disagree, and there's a couple interesting comments going on in the live stream right now, but you have to face the fact that most games just get worse whenever they go portable. I mean, have you played Mortal Kombat on Game Boy?
That's exactly what I was gonna bring up. Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh.
Ugh, so bad. Especially on the Game Gear, you had to press the start button to block. So, and
you had to do that on the Genesis 3 button controller too, though, Hunter, don't forget.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
That 6 button controller was the saving grace of the Sega Genesis. I want to write a whole series about how Sega like almost killed itself several times before it actually eventually did, but I haven't felt mean enough yet.
Oh no, they're still doing it. It's a slow, agonizing death that they refuse to. They want everybody to watch how slow this terrible train wreck is.
Yep.
By releasing more games.
So sorry, Mega Silver X1. We couldn't really. We tried. So to answer your question, no. There's your answer. No. So that's our listener email discussion question. We always have that as a segment on the show unless you don't have any emails. So to make sure we always have emails, email us. The email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's the numeral 1morecastle.com. We answer questions on the podcast. It's a cool feature. And now it's time for Retro Game Giveaway. An hour before the podcast began, I said I was going to give away a copy of Ice Hockey to someone who retweeted that particular tweet that went up an hour before the podcast began. So now I'm going to go find that tweet. And Hunter, you can feel free to edit this out of the audio version.
I plan on completely editing you out of the podcast.
That would be kind of an interesting
the whole track.
Alternate episode.
Just a lot of silence, okay. And then me and Jason laughing every once in a while.
Someone I don't know. Kevin Molina. I'm going to follow Kevin from Nintendo Legend. Kevin, if you're watching, you won. Apparently your Twitter name is Kevin A. Molina 85. That's KevinAMolina85. I'm not going to be mean enough and say that if you're not watching, you don't win, but someone might want to tell Kevin this ice hockey cartridge belongs to him. So, yeah. Congratulations, Kevin. You won. I'm gonna try and get in touch with you.
Whoa.
I'm following you. So follow me at Nintendo_Legend and we'll be in touch and I will mail you ice hockey. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time for us to take a little break, huh?
Sure. What kind of break?
Well, you know, we can either take like some kind of stupid break, like maybe like a punch yourself in the face break. Or
I take those breaks all the time. Pick a different one.
Or we could take a music break. Back. That was Optimism Prime, or the Salt and Peppers theme, by The World is Square. That was a Chrono Cross remix off the album Stay a While and Listen, which is not free. I have to mention this. Normally we feature a free track. This one is not free, but nonetheless, it's a pretty good album. I bought it. I considered it a worthwhile buy. I'll let you decide if you want to, but not free. Just fair warning. I have an old expectation for our free music. Sorry. Speaking of sorry, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For the benefit of anyone who doesn't know, this is the best part of the show. The Retro Showdown is where each of us co-hosts has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we're going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best choice. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully, at the very least, one of our arguments will sway you, but even more so, we just hope to entertain you. And we normally adhere to a theme, too. In fact, 2 weeks ago, the theme was flexible weapon games.
We are so really starting to stretch.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time. We're getting really nuanced and specific. Really creative. I'm going to call it creative. It really stretches our brains. It's a challenge now, you know? Flexible weapons. That was my idea, apparently. The game that won was mine, Bailey. He's the one who won with River City Ransom.
Oh, yep. Come on.
Beat out Ghostbusters 2 from Hunter and Dancing Eyes, the arcade game.
Whoa. No.
Jason.
Did it get any votes?
Yeah. It got one.
How many?
It got one vote.
That probably was from me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I lost because nobody has ever heard of or have played Ghostbusters 2
that's not true. People have
played. That's a perfect one for the listener email discussion question. That game is way better than the NES version.
Oh, see, look at that. There you go.
There you go. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on. We got other things to do.
Congratulations, me. That makes it 2 weeks in a row. Yes. And actually, I would make a big deal out of it, except I know I have no chance at winning the one we had last week with hard driving. So we're going to move on quickly. Tonight's theme is games with gloved protagonists. So the character in the game is wearing gloves or don't have their hands exposed in some manner. Bonus points, I'm quoting Jason here, bonus points if they're mittens, if they're wearing actual mittens, not just gloves. So if they're wearing mittens, you get bonus points. Somehow we'll figure that out. Gloves to theme you. Tonight. I guess I'll go first whenever you're ready to give me the time, Jason. 1 minute on my clock.
Stopwatch. All right, are you ready?
Never done this before.
Never done this before.
I'm thrown off already. I'm ready.
It only took 150. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Go.
So I tried to be clever tonight, and I thought, you know, gloved protagonists. I'm thinking like, you know, some kind of platformer where the guy's wearing gloves. So I almost brought a Mario game just to be really funny, but I thought, no, I'm gonna do something else. I'm going to bring a boxing game. Yeah, and when I think high-quality boxing video game, I don't think Ring King. Piffle. No. I go straight for the top shelf, and I grab James Buster Douglas Knockout Boxing, a Sega Genesis title from 1990, made by Taito, so you know it's good. It stars James Buster Douglas, who knocked out Mike Tyson in a famous fight back in the day. It's a solid game, really crunchy arcade-style sound effects. The final boss is a guy named Ironhead. It's James Buster Douglas Knockout Boxing for the Sega Genesis.
All right. Hunter. Are you ready? You may begin.
Well, I'm gonna go down. Gonna go down to South Park. And I'm going to have myself a time. Because there's friendly faces everywhere. With humble folks without temptation. Yes, I am going down to South Park. And I'm going to leave my woes behind. There's ample parking, day or night. And there's even people spouting, howdy neighbor. Well, I'm heading down to South Park. I'm going to see if I can't unwind. South Park for the Nintendo 64. And I get the bonus points because they're wearing mittens. Boom.
I wonder how many people aren't going to get your intro. It's just not going to understand what just happened.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
I hate you for two reasons right now.
What do you hate me for again? Why? What'd I do this time?
I had multiple games picked.
Good.
And South Park was one of them.
Right. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, you got others apparently, right? You said multiple.
And not only that, the intro you did was in a similar style to the intro for the other game I had.
Yeah.
Sucker.
So I'm just going to get start and screw you, you ass. Anyway.
Whoa.
What do you get when you... when you
every
take
time.
take a publisher who's traditionally just been really good at making Tony Hawk games? Well, you give them the Spider-Man license and they pump out Spider-Man for the N64. Featuring all kinds of people. Black Cat, Scorpion, Daredevil, Mary Jane Watson, Lizard, Carnage, Captain America, Doc Ock, Mysterio, Human Torch. There's probably a bunch of other people in there. So you played a Spider-Man. You can unlock alternative costumes. You could punch people. You even had the voice actors from the 1990s cartoon series reprising their roles.
Ooh.
Which made it fantastic.
Did it?
That was Spider-Man for the N64.
I have a question right away. Do you really consider Spider-Man to be a gloved protagonist?
He's wearing gloves.
Yeah, he's wearing gloves. He's not going barehanded. I mean,
yeah.
True.
They are gloves.
I mean,
it's kind of like footy pajamas. Is the footy really a sock?
Well, it's not a solid piece, though.
True.
Separate gloves.
Is it really not? I thought it was.
Yeah, the gloves are separate.
I'm thinking of a different... Never mind, fine. Whatever.
Know your Spider-Man, Bailey.
I don't know my Spider-Man.
Yeah, man, he's got separate gloves.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Well, in that case, carry on.
All right.
I gave away all my comic books. I don't know anything about comics anymore.
Nah, whatever.
I held on to a few, but yeah, I gave most of mine away. Just
I still read them, so.
Yeah, like I'll pick up the ones that I still have. Like I've got the first kind of collection of the Mega Man Mega Man comics. Those are really good. I've actually got a Nintendo. What's it called? Play or something? Oh, the Game Boy.
Do one more podcast. Huh? We talk about comic books.
We do. Well, when they're video game comic books.
Yeah.
True.
Did you know that Puss in Boots came out for the NES? There you go. There's the ad for that.
I did know that Puss in Boots came out for the NES.
There you
the
go.
NES is actually a console that I know a few games that came out for.
Good, good, good. Yeah, one of these, like Mario's, like wasted. He doesn't know what he's
doing.
Sounds
like a fun game. Mario's like wasted.
So yeah, still got this.
It's just like Mario's missing.
$1.95, issue number one.
Oh, things not bad.
Not taken care of.
So. Yeah, I'm kind of feeling pretty good about this week because you guys brought crappy games, yeah. So
brought
Buster Douglas, I got this. It's a fun game. Beat the crap out of people.
It is.
My friend had it growing up. We played it. We beat it. Had a good time. It's a fun game. Buster Douglas, Knockout Boxing.
I've never been a fan of this side-scrolling boxing game. Like, there's a lot of boxing games like this. Like, it just doesn't do anything. Mike Tyson's
Name
fun
just
stuff.
Another,
right.
boxing game they stuck a boxer's name on?
Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson.
Tyson was not a side-scrolling boxing game.
No, it wasn't, but that's not what he asked me.
Name three. Why I asked you.
Ring King was bad, too. Jason.
Ring King was. I didn't pick Ring King. I said the Mantro. I didn't pick Ring King.
I know. I'm just iterating. That's all. Just agreeing with you that that's a bad game.
Nope. Nope. I counter every point you say. It's my job right now. So showdown by deconstructing.
Is
TKO Super Championship Boxing?
Is wearing a mask in the boxing ring, is that legal?
And
does
James
not look legal.
Buster Douglas Knockout Boxing. It totally is, apparently, because the final boss does. He has a metal helmet on. It makes him really hard to injure him because you have to hit him like in the head while he's wearing a helmet.
Doesn't
you don't get
seem
a helmet. Ironhead. It's a pretty sweet boss fight. That's probably somewhere like in the top 1,000 retro game boss fights. I'd put it in there. Yeah, I would. Better than your guys' games. South Park, not a good reputation. Ooh, that game's a stinker.
I mean, if you're not a fan of the show, you're not going to get the game.
And even if you are a fan of the show, you'll end up nothing but disappointed by the watered-down experience that is South Park on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that's.
It doesn't have the same soul or the charm or the quick wit of the television show at all. Not at all.
Well, no,
it's
a video game.
Right, and not a good one, though.
Yeah.
There have been good video games. South Park on Nintendo 64.
There have been even good South Park video games.
Ah, yeah, they're much better ones, at least for sure.
Newest one's pretty good. 64 one is not.
It is not. 64 bits.
Nope.
Of awful.
There are some very innovative weapons within the game.
No, there weren't. They were terrible, and they sucked.
I mean, snowballs, I think that's pretty... pretty innovative. You can pee on it, and it can be a pee snowball. That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, if I wanted to pee on a snowball,
yeah, you can.
Right now, I can pee on it with my own pee.
And you could throw it at somebody, and that would be a weapon in South Park. You would be referencing the game.
I actually did used to.
Oh God!
If it was just the right not pee. Well, I started out that way wrong. Sorry. Yeah, I actually used to. If the weather was warm enough, you'd wear like really good, tight, compacted snowballs, and the snow was like starting to melt. I would roll it around like in the like muddy slush along the side of the streets, and then hit people. They got pretty mad at me for hitting them with muddy snowballs. That was, I love snowball fights. If you would have brought a snowball fight game, would have been like, oh yeah. Snowball fight game with people wearing mittens. But now you had to bring some stupid South Park game.
You know what though? Bailey,
what's up?
Have you heard of a magazine called Mega from the 90s?
Mega.
Ooh, it
Mega.
Sounds
covered.
Familiar,
covered.
But I'd be lying if I said I was familiar with it.
It's a UK magazine covered the Sega Mega Drive from 92 to 95.
Okay.
Final Blow.
Oh, you're gonna bring up. You're going to bring up
number 9 on their list of 10 worst Mega Drive games of all time.
You're going to bring that up. Yeah.
It's a stinker.
Actually, I'm
Hunter
sure
brought a stinker, but brought a definitive stinker.
But see, I didn't bring the Mega Drive game. I brought a Sega Genesis game. Here in America, our boxing games are a bit better. Thank you very much.
You should have just brought the arcade game.
It's true.
One was called Final Blow.
We've had a lot of arcade games on the podcast lately, which is great. I fully support that. But
yeah, Final Blow looks
not
really
much
too.
Of a bandwagoner jumper honor.
What does that even
more
mean?
Of a. That means I'm not going to bring an arcade game just because you guys. No,
why does everybody look so weird? Like, it looks.
It's a Sega game.
No, I don't
weird.
Think it's that. It's like I think they just made really poor decisions when creating these sprites. Like they were going to try to make it.
No, they actually look pretty good.
I mean, if that's your definition of pretty good, then
it's 16-bit. I mean, it's not like 128-bit. They worked with what they had. They had hardware limitations and palette restrictions and a
Yeah, man. Mike Tyson's punch out was eight. Just eight. It was just eight little bits.
And it looks good.
Yeah, but it looks just amazing. What do you mean it looks good?
Well, because Buster Douglas. Oh, I can't say
the worst part is that this game wasn't even designed with Buster Douglas in it originally.
No, it's a.
When they ported it, they just swapped out the Detroit kid and renamed him and did a palette swap.
Okay.
This is a palette swap.
My game is original.
What sports video game featuring a celebrity athlete was designed with that athlete in mind?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Every wrestling game.
Every wrestling game.
Are we going to get started about me and my opinion on wrestling games? Or are we
going
to go there?
No, we're not. We're not going there.
I'm
sure there's
down that road. I've been
every golf game, every single hockey, Madden.
No.
We got him. Our Tony Hawk
golf games are not designed with the golfer in mind. Tony Hawk, no. Skateboarding.
Yeah, Tony Hawk.
I don't know.
What do you mean, no? That game was created with Tony Hawk. They brought him on to help with development.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good example, Hunter. There's one.
What about Shaq Fu?
Yeah.
Shaq Fu also had a hand in the development of the game.
You got me there. They had to motion cap that guy.
Yeah.
Hell, there's even fishing games.
But they weren't
named after fishermen.
I think we're
no. The point you're missing is
we're having a whoosh moment with Jason and a brilliant
James Buster Douglas knockout boxing is a piece of shite.
it's a fun game.
Did you just go German on us? We got German Jason now.
Nine. Yeah, it's the Germans. Yeah, Uncle Two talks like this now.
Oh. Ah, little German boy returns.
Yeah, the final blow sucks.
So, Spider-Man is pretty bad.
Final blow. Spider-Man is also bad, yes.
Yeah. This is just a very bad...
Not sure. You like, don't you?
3D.
I rented it from Blockbuster.
Really?
I rented Spider-Man from Blockbuster as a kid, and I beat it when I had the flu once.
But you don't like Mega Man 2.
Honestly, I'd be okay if he just said he liked Mega Man 3 the best. Like, just as long as he accepts something.
Yeah,
I haven't even played that one.
So, what you. Okay. I have to go back to my notes. Because you did bring.
Spider-Man
for Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
right?
Spider-Man. Released in the year 2000. Also on Dreamcast.
And you said. You liked it.
Yeah.
But you don't like Mega
Man. That's a completely different game.
I'll give you that. That's fine. But it's also a different tier of game as well.
Yeah. Hey, back in the year 2000. This game's pretty sweet.
In the year 2000. The games like this to me are just like huge cop-outs. Because this was probably built using a different game, and then they picked up the Spider-Man license and just slapped it on there and threw it in.
This game had fire webs. That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. It's not even a thing.
Guys, my webs have napalm in them.
Wow, there's a lot of clipping in this game.
Oh, there's a ton of clipping.
Wow.
The whole game is clipping. That's pretty sweet. Climb up some buildings, kind of.
I just told you guys.
Not really.
Fight symbiotes.
Just doesn't do anything for me, man. Like, I went to Sinister 6 or 7? Sinister 7?
Sinister 6.
Yeah, okay. I thought they added one, though. Did they not add one? I don't know. Or Spider-Man on the Sega Genesis? That was a great game. That was a great Spider-Man game. Oh, God, it was so good.
That was a good Genesis game. Final James, John.
Buster.
Buster, Keaton.
Got James Buster Brown over here. Still thrown off by the sprites. Just the sprites are so weird looking. Because it's like they were trying to make it look as realistic as possible by making each like appendage and part of the body a different sprite and then try to get them to move the getter like they were connected with string. But it's the stern faces is what gets me. Because like their heads never move and their faces are always stern.
Yeah, they're like chickens. The head never moves.
It's weird.
I like chicken.
Terrible.
Jason.
Yeah.
Is Venom in this game?
I think so. Yeah, he isn't?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Is Venom
Carnage
in this game?
Yeah, Venom is in it.
Can I play as Venom?
I think you can unlock a costume.
Oh, that's not what I'm
saying. That turns Spider-Man into
the black
symbiote Spider-Man.
Costume is not the same as playing as Venom.
Yeah, but you can't.
There is a Peter Parker costume, which is kind of interesting.
You can even be the Amazing Bagman.
I don't know what that is.
In a Fantastic Four costume, but you have a bag over your head. Look it up. It's a real thing. You can be Scarlet Spider.
We are losing viewers as we speak.
Unbelievable.
This game was unbelievably good.
Anyway.
Jason, your game sucks. Just.
Well, you know what? Fine. If my game sucks, your games are absolutely terrible.
No! My game, I've actually played my game and I had fun playing my game.
Yes, and I've actually played mine and had fun.
I had fun.
Mine, however, wasn't listed in the top 10 worst games for my console.
I didn't bring a game for the console from the list you're talking about. Just gonna jump through that loophole every time.
Mine is based on a beloved cartoon for adults that's been on for like 17 years.
It's not good, Hunter. Okay. You both brought Nintendo 64 games. Don't do what?
That's not fair. You can't crux our titles just because they came from an inferior console. That's not fair.
No. That's funny. Okay, that was clever. What I was going to say, though, was I happen to know a guy on the internet. He calls himself the N64 connoisseur.
Yeah.
I look forward to his response when I ask him what he thinks of South Park and Spider-Man.
I'll tell you what. I am also familiar with this gentleman that you're speaking of. And
are you?
I am, a little bit. I know this guy a little bit. mainly just on the inside. But I digress. I'm more concerned about... Yes, I want to know what he thinks about these two titles for sure. Because, you know, obviously I value his opinion. But I'm more curious about how he feels about these two titles beside a terrible, terrible, terrible boxing game of a no-name boxer. Like, nobody talks about Buster Jones anymore, or whatever his name was.
I've never even heard of him.
Like, the only thing I know about him is that he knocked out Mike Tyson once, which, nowadays, an 80-year-old woman could knock this guy out because
that's
he's usually
nowadays,
wasted.
Though. That's completely unfair.
He's still
the
same guy, though.
Jordan versus Bird. I could beat Larry Bird. Maybe not, actually.
No, trust me, you couldn't. That guy's like 7 foot probably. 2 or 7 foot 4 or something like that.
He's 6 foot seven. He's this much taller than me.
He's bigger than you.
Yes.
Wasn't he in the hospital recently? You might have a chance.
He's always in the hospital.
He's old, man. He rocked his body to play.
He's pretty old.
He rocked his body to play
a
game on a court.
Awful back. I'd have a chance. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's what happens when you have to carry the Celtics for so many years.
Carry what? They had the best front court of all time. Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale weren't exactly just hangers-on on that squad.
No.
I mean, geez.
But Bird was the one who was making the shots. Come on.
Well, right, but that's like... Look, okay, the point is Hunter actually does get the bonus points, so
yes.
I can't sell his game anymore. Jason, your game sucks. We're running a little bit over time because we've had so much fun tonight. Livestream is a hoppin'. So happy, so glad. It's time for final arguments. Hunter, why on earth should anyone vote for, I'm going to go ahead and say it, the worst South Park video game of all time?
Well, I mean, if you're going down to South Park, You have to leave your woes behind. Because there's friendly faces everywhere. South Park for the 64. Peace, Snowball. Peace, Snowball.
Jason, why should Peace anyone Snowball. Play another generic superhero console video game?
Because my game does whatever a spider can.
It's nice. It's nice.
But you got the flu all over it.
What?
I don't like to interject the live stream comments into the podcast too much, but I do want to point out the absolute disgust Jonathan Higgins has tonight. He's talking about gloved protagonists. He's like, so much variant. I'm going to quote him. So much variants I could have gone with for this theme. Mickey Mouse, Sonic, Mario, Rue from Streets of Rage 3, Zool, Ristar, Cool Spot. Pretty much every platformer ever made, gloves are a thing, and they go with the three they picked.
Yeah. Those were obvious choices.
Yeah, and I thought of all of those games, and I was like, well, these won't be any fun.
I almost brought Ristar or a Mario game. But you should vote for James Buster Douglas Knockout Boxing, because it's fun, it's Sega, it's boxing, you beat people up, it's fun, it's Genesis, it's Buster Douglas.
It's as fun as punching yourself in the face.
But you get to punch other people in the face. That's even more fun. The final boss is a guy named Ironhead, who wears...
Which is completely against the rules of boxing. There's no way that you should be able to wear a metal helmet mask thing.
But that's what makes you the true hero, though, because you get to beat the guy who's breaking the rules. That's real sportsmanship.
That's where I'm going to put my money.
And that's the Retro Showdown. Thanks for joining us for another rousing round of Retro Showdown. That was fun, guys. Thanks. Man, I'm feeling good about this week. I think Buster Douglas has a shot at the title once again.
Peace, Snowball.
I want to have a special shout out for those who not only tuned into the live stream, but commented. People I may have already mentioned, but hey, people like Jonathan Higgins, Jonathan Alley, Valerie Minnick, Dustin Faber. Oh, I see people watching and comment. Cool. Aaron Alcorn, thanks for commenting. Mega Silver X. And did I say Valerie Minnick already?
Minnick!
The point is, Valerie Minnick. But yeah, thanks for commenting. For those of you who watched but didn't comment, thanks for watching. Just a reminder, we do live stream every Thursday evenings, every 7:30 p.m. Central. That's when we do it, right? Yeah. I should know by now. 7:30 p.m. Central. That's when we live stream every Thursday evening. We tweet the link from One More Castle on Twitter. Feel free to join us. But even if you don't join us there, you can download the podcast via MP3 on onemorecastle.com. We release new episodes Monday mornings. Please send us listener email discussion questions. You can send those emails to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Jason, any shout outs from you? Any reminders? Anything you want to say?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'll give a shout out to Harrison Ford, who narrowly avoided being killed in a plane crash because.
Again.
Never tell him the odds. No.
It's true.
3,720 to 1. True. Hunter?
Yes.
Anything to add?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as well at Eric Hunter, and for all things me, check out ericmhunter.net.
Cool. As for me, I want to give a special shout out to Kevin Molina, winner of this ice hockey cartridge right here. Hoping to get in touch with you soon. Spoiler alert for the creepy vibe for our contest giveaway. Well, there you have it. Just can't help it. And audience, remember, last but not least, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.